RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. Dr. Sui Tan has seen so many victims with facial fractures that he's calling on governments to deal urgently with violence in the community. A study conducted by Hutt Hospital in Wellington, New Zealand, for which Dr. Tan was the senior author, found close to 40% of all maxillofacial fractures in 5 years to 2017 were a result of violence. Internationally renowned, Dr. Tan specialises in plastic and reconstructive surgery and is executive director of the Gillies McIndoe Research Institute in Wellington. He provides details and the disturbing results of the study to Chris Ashmore.
Of the 1,535 patients, 533 or 38% were caused by interpersonal violence. Of these, 37% was associated with alcohol and in some cases drugs as well. This was probably an underestimation because it is largely self-reporting. We suspect that the involvement of alcohol is much more than what was recorded. In contrast, road traffic accidents, which were the most common cause of facial fractures, particularly the more complex forms of facial fractures, was responsible for only 6%.
And that number's gone down over the years from road trauma, is that right?
Well, road traffic accidents were the leading cause of facial fractures, particularly the more complex and more severe form of facial fractures. And this has really changed over the last 20 years.
Well, in terms of the damage done through violence, what kind of damage is there to the facial and skull region for those who are admitted to the hospital?
These range from simpler form of facial fractures, such as broken nose, broken cheekbone, through broken jaw and broken eye socket, to more complex facial injury, including a combination of these fractures, and sometimes brain injury as well.
Now, Dr. Tan, in 2012, you made headlines in New Zealand by performing lengthy surgery on a volunteer firefighter and Good Samaritan who was the victim of a bashing. Can you tell us about that?
In October 2012, Peter Fisher was brutally beaten in his hometown of Martinborough, going to the aid of his friend's daughter. He spent 78 days in a hospital and rehabilitation learning how to walk again after a brain injury and stroke. He suffered from extensive facial fractures, including a broken nose, cheekbones, eye sockets, upper jaw, and also three dislodged teeth. He was initially managed by the neurosurgeons for his head injury and underwent surgery a week later to repair the facial fractures that took 5 hours. He could have died at the scene if it was not because of the efforts of the ambulance officer who found him drowning in his own blood.
Well, that's a very horrific situation, and that would probably be at the extreme end of a violent act. And that was 6 years ago. Are you seeing this trend of violence increasing, though, in the country?
Well, we believe what we are seeing is a true reflection of what has been happening across the country. The findings of this current study were consistent with our 2007 study of patients treated at our unit serving the Wellington region, which show that interpersonal violence was responsible for 42% of facial injury. These were consistent with a study in the Canterbury region between 1996 and 2006 showing that interpersonal violence was responsible for 44% of facial fractures. And also a study in the Waikato region between 2004 and 2013 showing that interpersonal violence was responsible for 54.5% of facial fractures. So these studies collectively span quite a period of time showing consistently interpersonal violence is a main cause of facial fractures. And alcohol was involved in 45% of our 2007 Wellington study, and in fact, 87% of the Canterbury study.
How much does it cost, not just social costs, but actual dollar costs for the community to provide treatment and rehabilitation to the victims?
On top of the personal, social and economic costs, the Accident Compensation Corporation website shows that in the 2016-2017 year, there were nearly 4,400 active claims at a cost of $44 million. That is just over $10,000 per claim for that year. So this is quite significant.
Now, of course, with your role as a surgeon, you're urging the community to address this issue urgently, but what can be done?
We urgently need more effective public health strategies to combat this problem, as injuries from interpersonal violence are essentially preventable. They take away the scarce health resources that are so desperately needed. It is very significant that our study shows that road traffic accident, which was the most common cause of facial fractures, had declined and only accounts for 6% of all cases. This is credited to the introduction of better health strategies and education programs supported by legislation, including compulsory seatbelt, helmet, enforcement of blood alcohol limits. As a society, we must commit to similar efforts to deal with interpersonal violence. This requires concerted and sustained efforts by all stakeholders. We need to send a clear message that interpersonal violence is unacceptable in our civilized society. We need ACC, the Ministry of Health, and other government agencies and health professional groups such as the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and community groups to come together to deal with these urgent problems collectively. While facial fractures were the focus of our study, interpersonal violence and alcohol are responsible for other injuries as well, such as hand injuries that take away much of our scarce health resources.
Are you finding that these trends are occurring not just in New Zealand, but Australia and other places in the world?
Oh, yes, I'm certain this is the case, because there are actually studies from other countries like Australia and Europe, the UK and Scandinavian countries, showing the same trend. We do have a problem globally, and maybe that every country should try to work together to give that clear message that interpersonal violence is unacceptable. I think that would be a starting point, because everybody in the community should say, no, that is not good enough. We need to change the way that we behave. It is a behavior problem, and worsened by other things around us, like the availability of alcohol. But if everybody gets the message, because this happened often not in a private place, there are other people around, and everybody says, look, no, let's not do that. And that would, I'm sure, have an impact on its own.
At a health level, at a health service level, at hospitals, is there anything that medical professionals can do to alleviate the numbers of this damage?
Obviously, when we have patients who presented to us with a facial injury relating to interpersonal violence, the natural reaction is to counsel the patient and whoever is involved with the injury. But in some ways, that is kind of like an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. We need to do more. We cannot just individually do that. And the fact that we would deal with the injury as best as we can, but the injury involves more than the patient or more than the sufferer. And we can't reach necessarily the other parties that are involved in the injury. We need a more concerted effort to deal with this problem.
Dr. Sui Tan. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Buongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.